30 feet away. Jumper in the air. He's got it. Lamar Odom has won it for Rhode Island.
In traffic, off balance shot.
Thank you. Jared Terrell at Rhode Island has done it in the final 5 seconds on a circus shot from Jared Terrell. A career high night for him and a victory for Rhode Island.
Broken up. Dutton. Run out. Rowdy. Look out.
Oh, steal by Vance Russell off of Young.
Three.
Don't do it to him like that, Vance.
Dribbles into the forecourt. Iverson going up. He guts it home as the buzzer sounds. And Rhodey, the 8-10 champs.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, your two favorite Rhodey podcast hosts are back for their fourth season and the best one yet. Welcome to another season and episode of the greatest Rhodey podcast around town. That would be Rhodey Baseline. We thank you all for joining us for another episode. Welcome back, Gary.
I know. Wow. Can't believe
what's happened in the offseason too there, Gary, too.
Four seasons of Rhodey Baseline is nuts to me because it was just a COVID idea that has spawned into all this, and we can't thank everybody enough for their support of the podcast. As always, make sure to follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rhodey Baseline, and obviously subscribe to us and leave us that 5-star rating. But Andrew is correct. A lot of stuff happening in the offseason for Rhodey
and also personally
in our lives, right?
Congratulations the husband of this podcast. He getting married. Big offseason for you. Adding another one to the Rhodey family. But we got a lot planned for this team, and it's excitement on both sides.
Yeah, can't talk too much here. Believe me, we got so much to cover in this season preview episode. Before we do get started, we do want to thank everybody for their patience. We usually do a summer episode, but of course, with everything with the wedding and things going on in our lives, things got a little hectic. So we appreciate you guys coming back to our season preview episode. Me and Andrew are so excited to talk about the new additions to the men's and women's teams, but we can't do it alone. We are joined, as we do every season, with a special guest for our season preview. And that special guest this year is Dave Escoli of Rhodey Rampage joining us on the podcast. Dave, it's great to have you back on.
Gentlemen, I am excited. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to talk some hoops with you guys.
Yeah, it's been a long off season, both on the men's and women's side. The men's season did not go as we planned, and neither did the women's side. I still remember that running through the Orlando airport to get to Philadelphia, Gary, and you picking me up at the hotel, going to the game, and unfortunately we lost. That ended a whirlwind 36 hours of travel. I was at Disney World. I was in Epcot watching them. Right in front of the Epcot ball, watching them win their first round game. And then I literally sprinted to the bus to get to the airport, changed my flight, landed in Philly around 2 a.m. with some major turbulence. And then it was a great game, great comeback. But unfortunately, the women's season ended with a bitter taste, and at Harvard, where Dave and I got to see that end. And that was something too. But
yeah,
that was sad. I still remember that. They almost pulled it out. But now we're back for another full season. A lot of new faces on both sides of the ball, on both teams. And I look forward to talking about it with you guys over the next half hour-ish.
Yeah, let's dive right in. Let's get talking to the men's team. A lot of people that have gone, a lot of new faces coming in. Dave, let's talk a little bit more about who we lost this season.
Ish, Alex Chiku, Malik Martin, lost to graduation, Jalen Carey, Sebastian Thomas, Abdu Sam.
Oh, wow.
Lou Hutch. That's the end of the list.
That's
so
crazy. A lot of names gone.
Yeah. Obviously, what? Malik to graduation, and he'll be missed, his senior leadership, and then also Leggett, obviously. And the other pieces, really, Thomas, Carey, Hutch, Chiku, I think have been adequately replaced. And Ish hasn't really been replaced by one guy, but I think there are a couple of guys that can fill in. And I'm sure you guys want to start diving into some of that stuff.
Okay. I think we got to start with the man, the myth, the legend with the greatest name in college basketball. And that is always right. I mean, I don't know much about his game, but if his game's anything like his name, he's going to be a roadie legend.
Yeah, you know, he's probably going to back up at the point this year to Louis Courtright. Whew, we've had a whole summer to learn all the names, and I know all the names. I just get them confused sometimes. I need to actually see him play, see some jersey numbers, see some style, see some haircut. So
I think I'm going to need one of those, like, cheat sheets that they have up in the booth during NFL games.
Seriously, yeah.
On Monday night,
get one of the poster board things that Stone does before every game.
This might be the first time in as many years that I have to grab the at the snack bar, they have to grab that sheet where they have all the players' names and stuff.
But yeah, so always, yeah, his body is, you know, he's only 175 pounds at 6'3", and I weigh more than that, and I'm shorter than that. And, you know, I'm not like a heavy set person. So he definitely could use another year, but I think he's going to slide right in and into the backup point guard role. And everything Archie's saying about him, you know, he is going to be an exciting player here, I have a feeling.
And I think there's a nice, I'm looking at the roster now, there's a nice mix of young and old guys. Like, you can't forget, we got Brandon Weston returning. I think he's due for a big step up this year. What do you think about that one, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't start in the scrimmage. And honestly, he didn't look too great. But again, one game, I'm not going to lose my mind over one game. But he only played 14 minutes. He shot 2 of 7, 4 points, 2 boards, 3 assists, no turnovers. But yeah, I think guys like, you know, Zeke Montgomery and maybe even Connor Dubski. I think DeSano tweeted something earlier today. We're recording this on Friday, by the way, the 3rd. I think DeSano tweeted something, or maybe it was someone else. I don't want to blame him for something that maybe he didn't say, but Dubski and Weston could be fighting for minutes at this point, with Zeke Montgomery kind of ahead of them on the depth chart, and even, you know, Tyson Brown and those guys. But Zeke's pretty much the 3, so and that's where Weston slots in. So it's definitely going to be, you know, guys are going to have to earn their minutes this year. This team is deep, and I think that's the lead here. I mean, this team is deep. They can play they can do a lot of different matchup stuff. They can switch things around. If some guy doesn't have it one night, they have other guys to step in. They can ride hot hands, things like that. Things that were missing last season, for sure.
I don't want to jump in here, but you brought up Zeke Montgomery, so I have to bring it up. For those who didn't attend the exhibition, which obviously it wasn't on TV, there was clips posted on Twitter. There was a massive dunk by Zeke Montgomery that basically, I've never seen someone with so much authority jump over there in a long time, over 3 players to get into that dunk. But just that intensity is stuff that we didn't have last season that just makes me more and more excited.
Yeah, and I remember when they landed him, you know, and a lot of folks, I think Kenny Johnson was one of them, tweeting his highlight tape or his, you know, YouTube mixtape or whatever. And there were several of those. So this wasn't his first time doing something like that. And it sure as hell isn't going to be his last. So I'm very excited to see him play and continue to just posterize dudes like that.
What do we think Rory's role is going to be this year? Do we think he steps back because of the new bodies? Do we think he steps up a little bit, starts to fall more into that corner 3 specialist where he was recruited to and didn't end up getting to play last year due to injuries? Where are we thinking where Rory ends up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was obvious last year that he's not suited for the 5. He was forced to play there, and he actually didn't do too poorly playing the 5 last year, but it's definitely not his position. He filled in well admirably, but he's more of a 4. He definitely does not want to be anchored to the paint. He needs to get out. He's a lethal outside shooter. And unfortunately, he missed the scrimmage. It sounds like it's nothing serious. I think it's like a thigh bruise or something like that. So it's hard to tell where he fits in into the rotation because we just haven't seen it yet. But, you know, in terms of guys that play the 4 and the 5, they have obviously Fuchs and Tyson Brown and then Fumena. I mean, those are guys that play the 4 or 5. I don't think there's really anyone else. I mean, unless you want to slot Weston into the 4. So there's going to be minutes for him at the 4, and he can certainly play that inside out type game and hit threes. But yeah, it remains to be seen what kind of role he has and how significant his minutes load is.
I think there's a couple more players that we got to talk about. We're not really going to talk about David Green, and I think we're all privy to the to the news out there. David Green is still waiting to hear from the NCAA board on his transfer, seeing if he'll be eligible to play this year. It's not looking so hot, but before we jump into the last couple sets of people I want to talk about, if David Green does miraculously get his transfer, Dave and Gary, to you as well, I think that could be a game changer for this season, in my personal opinion, from the video I've seen of him.
Top six, book it. If David Green gets a transfer, this is a top six team in the league.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. It's going to be a big get if he can grab that waiver. I think, unfortunately, we're kind of stuck in the dark right now, and the NCAA has been a little more and more tight about it. But if he can get that waiver, then definitely I agree with Dave on that. My top six.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, he's eligible the whole season, but I'd be maybe they bench him for half a season, a la Antoine Walker a couple of years
ago. Yeah. Well, the annoying thing is, not only are they being stringent with these waivers, they're being slow. Like, if you're just going to deny him, then just deny him right now. So at least we know, like, this right. This suspense is very annoying. And certainly we're not the only fan base going through it. You know, I've seen Mason fans. I've seen St. Louis fans. Obviously, I follow more A10 accounts than others. But, you know, there's way more fan bases that are experiencing this. This is certainly not unique to Rhodey by any means.
Especially when
it's annoying.
Especially when we're 72 hours away from tip off. Like,
yeah,
it's not fair to the players. It's not fair to the coaching staffs. But that's an argument for another day. We're all thinking, hoping that David Green is eligible to play. But that leads us into. We still have Cam Estevez, Connor Dubitsky, and then Courtright and Jaden House are the four we haven't talked about. I think, obviously, House and Courtright are going to have a major impact on this team this year. But what can you say about them and then the two freshmen that are coming in, which I think hopefully they can get some playing time, not a lot, though.
So House is a stud. House is going to be, you know, I do the KenPom MVP when a URI guy wins it for a certain game. I post it and track it all year. House is going to lead the way on that. There's no question about it. He is the alpha scorer on this team. I mean, just look at him in the scrimmage, like not only scoring, but just stupid efficiency. 23 minutes, 7 of 8 shooting, 1 of 1 from 3, 19 points on only 8 shots in only 23 minutes. I mean, that's, geez,
are star numbers.
Give me that every night, no question. And then, you know, Courtright, 20 minutes, 11 points, but 7 boards. He only had 1 assist. I don't think that's going to be the norm for him. We're going to see him get a lot more assists this season. He's the floor general. And obviously, we remember opening night last year when URI got kind of shocked. I was pretty surprised that they lost to Quinnipiac, and Courtright was a major part of that. So if you can't beat him, join him, I guess. They brought him in. He had 4 steals, against Assumption. So, but I really like his game, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. He's an absolute true point guard, and so is always. So that 1-2 punch of Courtright and Always Right, that those are 2 solid point guards that you can bring in and interchange as needed.
Well, I think we should break this down and talk about the non-conference. I like what Archie did with our non-conference schedule. We start out with 3 very, very winnable games, in my opinion. And I think that's going to be huge, having a night. They might not be the biggest names, but I think you need to build confidence in this team. Even though it's not the toughest competition, I think those are 3 winnable games. And then we all know what can happen at Mohegan Sun. So I think if you can go into Thanksgiving being winning those 3 games and then splitting at Mohegan, I think you could consider that a success. Now, Dave, do you think that's a realistic possibility, or are we thinking 3-0 at home and then 0-2 up at Mohegan?
Well, got to go 3-0 at home. First of all, you know, KenPom has them pretty heavily favored in their first 3 games, you know, most by double digits. The closest one he has is Fairfield, which he has them winning by, quote unquote, only 7, and all at home. So those 3 are going to be huge. It's a great kind of lead into the season, especially coming off from the scrimmage with Assumption, which they played exceptionally well, especially in that second half. So the only issue I have is these 4 teams at Mohegan, or 3 teams, not including URI, are tough teams. Northwestern, Mississippi State, Washington State, these are all top 50, 60, 70 teams in KenPom. And I know these are preseason rankings and you can't put much stock into them, but these are teams that have been good for a while and were good last year and are likely going to be good this year. So they stole one against West Virginia at Mohegan. And they had a couple of other big Mohegan wins.
Cincinnati,
that's right. And then they lost to Duke the next day, I believe, that year.
Yep.
Just saying that the Mohegan Sun Arena on November 18th and 19th, there is no reason why any of these three other school bases should outrank URI, yeah, in my opinion.
Chicago, Mississippi, and Washington State. So
that should be Ryan Center South. Y'all get your butts to Ticketmaster and buy those tickets right now. I know Gary and I are definitely going. Dave might be going. Roadie Nation, stand up and show out for this tournament. It's going to be a huge stepping stone for this program.
I was going to say, and whether they go, I mean, if they go 2-0, I mean, geez, I'm going to start losing my mind. But let's be realistic and say, you know, 1-1 is probably getting greedy. But if they do go 1-1, or even if they go 0-2, they come back with Johnson and Wales. You know, a lot of people saw Johnson and Wales on the schedule 6 games into the season and were like, what is this? Why are we playing some, you know, culinary school, essentially? The day before Thanksgiving.
At 2 o'clock.
Yeah, but you know what? Whether they win, lose, or draw in Mohegan, they're going to be two tough games, and they're going to be licking wounds. So good kind of reset game for them, you know, kind of a gimme, because then they're coming back.
Those three games after Thanksgiving are very, very – actually, those four games after Thanksgiving are – those are very sneaky games. Like, Yale impresses me. Pretty sure Yale won the Ivy League last year. No, Princeton did.
But Yale was in the mix. They may have won the regular season.
You got prof squad. Brown's projected to be back, and then College of Charleston's always tough. Like, I like it's a nice mix. It's not flashy names on the non-conference, but it's a solid non-conference schedule where you'll be able to see a lot of this team. They should get a decent amount of wins, and I'm impressed by them. And it should get them ready for A-10 play, where I don't know about you two. I don't think they're finishing 14th.
Nope. That's Andrew. You took the words right out of my mouth. Break to finish 14 out of 15 in the A-10 seems a little high for this team. What do you think, Dave?
Did you see the Archie clip today?
I did not.
Okay. The Archie clip at the coaches versus cancer thing.
I did see that.
If there were 16 teams in the conference, we would have been picked 17th. It was so good. It was, and you could tell, you know, this is on a bulletin board somewhere. This is motivation. He is, you know, he kind of had that smirk like, okay, all right. But yeah, this, you know, and this is what I've been saying to everybody. The A-10 is not the ACC. You know, everyone is like, oh, geez. You know, you can't go from 14th one year to, like, you know, 7th or 8th the next year. Of course you can. Look at this conference. It's not good. It's kind of the running joke on Twitter. You know, it was a one-bid league last year. You look at teams like I'm just starting at the top of their conference schedule. Sorry. St. Joe's, Davidson, UMass. Then you got Bonaventure and Dayton, both on the road. Those will be tough. But then you know, Fordham, Mason, LaSalle, Duquesne. Are you, like, scared or terrified of any of these teams? Or are you looking at any of these games and be like, oh, yeah, that's for sure a loss. They can't hang with that team. I mean, they hung with most of the teams last year. And this year's team is significantly better. So
Fordham's going to be good, though.
Fordham will be okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, St. Joe's has a chance to be okay. Obviously, Dayton is going to be good. I think Bonaventure is going to be good. Loyola Chicago, who knows?
But yeah, literally, it's a crapshoot. Who's going to get that? Of course. Who's going to be the top four? Like, I honestly, like, VCU's got question marks. St. Louis.
Yeah.
Like,
and the margin between, you know, 5th and 11th last year was razor thin. So,
yep, exactly. So,
you know,
you can't, I feel like you can't put stock into it, right? Like, good. Let Archie use it as motivation. Stick it on a bulletin board. Show them that you don't deserve to be 14th. But, like, you can't look at that and go, oh, well, they say you're going to be 14th. Like, okay. Like, I think there was, like, it was, like, two or three games between 5th and 11th last year. Like, it wasn't anything that was crazy.
Right. Yeah, so, you're, like, not, You don't have to jump over like multiple ranked teams. And the other thing too is the preseason poll this year was very, very similar to the end of the year standings last year. So, you know, and I don't expect, you know, Fran Dunphy, or just name a random coach, Travis Ford, the guys that vote in the in these polls, because it's mostly coaches, you know, sitting there and breaking down 3 hours of Louis Courtright film and saying, oh, maybe I should move URI up a little bit. You know, like, I don't expect them to know the ins and outs of URI until, you know, it's a week before they play them. So I don't fault the coaches for doing this. I don't think, like, we should be mad about it, but I also don't think it's going to happen. So
exactly. Well,
I think that wraps up our men's discussion. There's definitely a lot to be excited about. My last question for you, Dave, before we move over to the women and we wrap things up.
Yes, sir.
If you had a bet today, what percentage chance would you give them to make the NIT?
URI?
Yeah.
Given the new NIT format, like 5%.
Ah.
Yeah, the new format. Screw it.
Screw it. Yeah, Final four. Here we come.
So before we get into the women's team, because usually I do this at the end, but I want to put it here at this point. Okay. What do we think that URI is going to finish in the A-10 preseason prediction before even starting the first game? What do we think they're going to be in the A-10 when it comes down to A-10 tournament style? Like, where are we sitting in the standings at that point?
David Green's eligible. They get the double bye. No David Green. I would say 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
I've been telling, kind of going off my guess that David Green's not going to be eligible. The number I've been giving everyone is 8. I think they finish 8th.
Okay. Not 14th.
Not 14th.
I'm going to go 6.
I'm going to say not double digits.
Yeah, no. I don't think so, but I
don't be playing on Tuesday. Well, it should be Wednesday, but that's an argument for another day.
Oh God, don't get me started.
Oh please, we're not going to get into the A-10 tournament switching stuff here. And with that, we are going to now switch gears over to the URI women's team,
the reigning Atlantic 10 regular season champion women. Gary, you forgot that
co-champion winners. Just saying,
we cut down nets.
We did cut down nets. You're right.
This banner's going up.
It's true. This
banner's being handed out to the fans.
It's true. Yeah, no. This women's team, like Andrew said at the beginning of our episode, heartbreaker in the A-10 tournament, but 2 wins in the NIT for this women's team. Tammy Reese has a couple players coming back and a couple new faces joining the team this year. Let's dive right in, Dave, into
And you're forgetting she's also on the mid-major coach of the year search, and they're projected to win the Atlantic 10 conference again. The sky is the limit for this team, Gary.
Yeah.
So to jump with the women, you lost Dolly Cairns, but you freaking turned into the Boston Celtics, apparent of women, college women's basketball, adding all the pieces they added like this year. Like, you're going to get a full season, and forgive me for mispronouncing this name. I think your under the radar player is going to be Tanine Magasa. And forgive me if I mispronounced her name. I think that is going to be your under-the-radar A-10 player this year. I think you saw spurts of it last year, just that height compared to anybody else in the A-10 we saw last year. I think that's going to be something to write home about.
Yeah, and her and Torre down low, and then you got Dee Dee Davis, you got Inez. Those are kind of your 2 point guards, much like, you know, Always Right and Louis Courtright. And you have Dutat is back. Who am I missing? Oh, Sophie Phillips, obviously.
Sophie!
Yeah.
Sophie for three!
Listen, I love Sophie.
Yeah.
Sophie's a huge... We're going to give Sophie a shout-out. She's a huge fan of Rudy Baseline. So
yeah. You also have... Oh, man, these names.
Go on.
Aisha Hyman, the grad transfer from Syracuse.
Another grad transfer,
Where does Tammy Reese find these ladies? And then you got the 2 freshmen, Eva Deshaun.
Yeah, and Katie Ledden. Yeah.
Which we've already, and it's so funny to see, because she's been recruiting Eva and Katie for so long that most of us have seen a lot of footage on them.
Yeah.
And fans have a lot to be excited on just in the freshmen.
Sophia Vital from Tabor Academy. Tabor Academy is no slouch school either.
Yeah.
Teams talk about being like deep, I'm counting this. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You could easily go 10 deep. I would not be shocked at all this year if you see line changes.
Yeah.
Like, have Sophie, Tanin, Dutat, Maye Torre, and pick one of the freshmen, play the first 5 minutes of each quarter and just rotate every 5 minutes. Like, and that's what Tammy said. They're going to be running up and down the court. I have a feeling this style of basketball we're going to see this season is going to be something to behold.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Again, we're talking about how deep the men's team is. This team is deeper, probably.
And stacked.
It's stacked, too. And, you know, you look around the A-10, and obviously St. Louis is going to be good again this year. They went to the NCAA tournament last year. They knocked URI out of the A-10 tournament. But I think UMass takes a step back. They lost a lot of players.
Yeah.
Their coach. Yeah. So, yeah, I think St. Louis really is the only competition this year. I could be wrong. You know, some team like Joe's or Richmond or some team like that could easily come out of the woodwork. But I think it's an argument
that this women's team could be just as good or better than the Dayton team a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's all there for the taking for them right now. And they have some tough non-conference games, too. You know, they're playing at NC State. They're hosting Princeton. They got a game at St. John's. They're at PC as well. I think PC is going to be pretty solid this year. They were halfway decent last year. So,
do you think that building that non-conference schedule the way Coach Reese and staff built it has their eyes on an at-large bid in March?
I hope so. You know, the one, like, I hate to be critical, but the one thing I would have loved to see is a little bit of a tougher MTE. You know, they're playing in the Las Vegas Holiday Classic, but it's Youngstown State and Portland. You know, hopefully in the coming years as they continue to get better. You know, the MTE they played last year was, you know, they kind of steamrolled through it. There weren't a lot of super talented teams. And again, I don't know much about Youngstown State and Portland. They could be very good. But I'd love to see some bigger names, but they did get some big names. I mean, they're playing at St. John's, they're playing at NC State, Princeton. They got Harvard again. So
I rematch that game is circled on my calendar.
Yeah.
They're with me in Cambridge.
Yeah.
Harvard knows I'm coming.
Yeah. Yeah. And that one's at home too. So,
yes.
I mean, yeah, this MTE isn't, you know, I think it could be better, but they did a great job filling out the non-MTE games with some real, real challenging games. So, you know, 6-1, half a dozen to the other, as long as they're playing tough teams, I don't care where they're playing them. I think it's a real solid schedule.
I think that it has you ready for March in case, I mean, I don't think there's a team in this conference that is going to be able to take them down this year. I think this is finally the year that they crack through. Last year, they cracked through, won a game in the tournament. I think this team knows how to win. You have the experience coming in with the two grad transfers.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where you take that step. You finally win the conference tournament. Reminds me a lot of when Hurley here, he won the, well, he did it in reverse order. He won the conference tournament in the regular season. But mm-hmm. I think this women's team can do that. But the only difference is, and we got to talk about this, Tammy Reese is going to be around for a long time, gentlemen, signing that 10-year contract extension since we talked. And I think that is just a big of a storyline going into this season as much as the talent on the team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge, especially with a lot of the coaching turnover, you know, in women's hoop and even in the A-10, you know, with UMass losing their coach. So I think Bonaventure changed the coach, but I think that was a firing and not a move up. But yeah, this, you know, the A-10 has some very good coaches. And a lot of folks, a lot of bigger time schools are looking at them. So I always say contracts in college basketball, coaching contracts don't mean all that much. But, you know, I'm excited for this. She seems committed, you know, and she did have a chance to jump this offseason and she didn't do it and instead re-upped. So, yeah.
And you're not going to find a lot of schools out there that are going to buy out a 10-year contract.
Exactly.
Women's salaries are a lot less than the men's salaries. It is going to be hard pressed to find an athletic director and a president out there that is going to buy out a 10-year contract.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just good news all around for this team. Good vibes only. Super pumped for Tuesday night.
The big thing I'll say is as long as they can stay healthy, because that, you know, obviously. Yeah.
But with how deep they are, Gary, even if they do, you could play probably nine ladies on this team could be starters on any other team in the A-10. You could pick and choose, like, you could do an NHL style or the NBA style, back-to-back, so they rest their stars. You could rest, like, three, four girls a day and probably still beat Sacred Heart by 60.
Yeah,
I mean, Sacred Heart's not good, but I do generally agree with Gary that just wrap them in bubble wrap in between games. Please.
No, seriously. Yeah, but you know what, though? Andrew does make a good point, because we haven't seen, you know, we have had depth in the past, but there is...
They got more depth than UConn.
There's more depth at this point of players in here that couldn't actually work. I agree with you. Bubble wrap them, please, for God's sakes. Because they always have, and there's always that issue here. Mm-hmm. But when you have all these players here, you were able to get really good transfers. You have your two freshmen coming in that you've been recruiting for now 2 to 3 years, I think, at this point. Like, she has built the puzzle pieces to basically take care of this.
And to lead into that, she's been talking about playing a faster style. Gary and I, you and I went to a lot of games last year. How is it going to be faster than it was last year, in my opinion?
Exactly. This team, she had talked to us last year and said that she wanted them to play faster. And we saw the improvement game after game at the Ryan Center and away, right? How is it going to be faster than this?
And I got a sneaky suspicion after watching that second half against St. Louis, we're also going to see a hell of a lot more press.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and they got St. Louis, you know, speaking of St. Louis, they have them twice, you know, last game of the calendar year of 2023, December 30th, they're at St. Louis, and then they host them on February 11th, which is a Sunday afternoon, so that one could be...
I think that's Super Bowl Sunday.
I mean, it's February 11th, I mean, that tracks, so, yeah.
I mean, the game's at noon, so it's fine.
You know the Patriots and Giants won't be there.
That's yeah, fine. It's true.
It's yeah. fine. We're not talking football. It's fine.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that one is one that fans should already have circled for sure.
100%.
And then, you know, the Harvard game and the Princeton game, both at home, you know, those could be really, really fun. Harvard game is over Christmas break, which kind of sucks because there won't be students there. But, you know, if you're the type of person that has between Christmas and New Year's off or takes it or is, you know, back in Rhode Island from out of town, great game to catch Thursday night, the 28th of December at 6.
That Dave's way of saying that he's going to be at that game.
That's Dave's way of saying he's going to try as hell to be at that game. Yeah.
No, but the reality is that's a great opportunity to be able to see this team. I mean, we don't have to hammer the point here, right? This is a team that you want to come watch, both teams, the men and women, but this women's team has earned every right for you to make an opportunity to come to these games.
Absolutely.
They are phenomenal.
Andrew, I didn't yell enough at the Harvard coach last year, so I still owe her a little bit more. So,
Believe you. Yeah, we were.
She's getting some.
She's definitely going to remember us.
Oh, yeah.
Dave brought up a great point that I want to drive home. And he said, getting to the Ryan Center for both these men's and women's teams.
Yeah.
The women's team is going to be fighting for March Madness, getting deep. Hell, you could make an argument that they're going to be the Cinderella and could go to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. The men's team is on the up and up. You don't want to miss out on the building of this program. We know how special it was with Hurley. It's going to be just as special with Archie. So get to the Ryan Center. All season long, these players deserve it. If you want this program to get back to where it is, you see not only the coaches and the players putting it on the effort, we see it in the news that the athletic program is putting money in it, to the state is putting money into the athletic program, not just basketball, with the practice really being done. They just released that they're going to redo the track, the football stadium. The money is being the Thorbjorn and the administration and the state are investing in URI athletics. It's about time the fans, the alumni, the student, we all need to invest in this athletic program. And it starts right on Monday and Tuesday night with the men's and women's basketball program. So y'all need to get out there, show the athletic administration, the state, that URI athletics needs to be the face of this state and not those stupid bums from Providence.
He couldn't have put it better, Dave. I literally couldn't have put it any better.
Yeah. Cheers. Yeah, I'll drink to that. Yeah.
No, but again, like we said, you want to get to the Ryan Center for these games. URI Men's Monday, November 6th. Game is at 7 p.m. against Central Connecticut State. And then URI Women on Tuesday, November 7th against Sacred Heart. That game is at 6 p.m. at the Ryan Center. Both those games available on ESPN Plus, but if you're in the area, you should make your way to the Ryan Center to see both of these teams to get right on this bandwagon before it drives away. As always, we want to thank Dave for joining us on this season preview of Roadie Baseline. You can follow Dave at Roadie Rampage on Twitter. Dave also writes articles for the Fansided website. He's been doing that for a very, very long time. So make sure to follow Dave. He's a great source for Roadie content. As I want to say that we're the greatest podcast, but he's the greatest source for a lot of information on both the men's, women's teams, and also URI football, where they're finishing up their season in the next couple of days as well. Dave, thank you so much for joining us, as you do every season that we've had on Roadie Baseline.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And with that, that ends our first episode of Roadie Baseline for Season 4. Make sure to follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Roadie Baseline. Subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms. And as always,
go Roadie!